What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to, or watching as the case may be, Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Now, we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about the worth of a soul. A long time ago, my daddy and I had a conversation, and I was an angsty teenager who thought he knew better than everything else, and I thought I was going to change the world. And I was like, we treat animals way too badly. And the reason I come up with that idea is I was watching this programs on the History Channel, or was it Animal Planet? It was Animal Planet. And it was about the SPCA of Houston, the SPCA of Detroit. And they had these huge task force in these cities that dealt with animal cruelty. Now listen, go read the book of Proverbs. In fact, I think it's Proverbs 12:10 or 10:12. Let me look it up. I should have had that. I'm going to say 12:10 or 12:11. Nope, it's 12:10. "A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel." I can tell a lot about a person by how they treat their animals, okay? "A wicked man treats his animals cruel. A righteous man regards the life of his beast." That doesn't mean that we can't eat meat. That doesn't mean that we can't be livestock guardians and practice animal husbandry. That doesn't mean I can't have a dog that I treat like a dog instead of a human. All of that being said, what the Proverbs writer is saying is, look, if somebody is cruel to animals, they're going to be cruel to people. There's something missing in them. They're just a wicked person. Good morning, everybody. Mike Osnes, good to see you. Folks, there's 11 folks watching. Let me see where y'all are watching from. Oh, wow. Okay, that's amazing. Listen, for those of you that are watching in the We Talk Truth group, I've been thinking about making a group for Christianity Now and making it open to the public. And I've been thinking about getting some of you, my listeners, I should say our listeners, to kind of help police that group and moderate that group. But what that would do, it would help us garner more listeners. And what we could do, for those of you that would be moderators in the group, you could help us police links. You could help moderate conversations and debates and stuff like that. There's a whole host of things that you could do. And I've got a set of rules and a mission statement for the We Talk Truth group that could easily be converted into the Christianity Now group. But the difference between the We Talk Truth group and the Christianity Now group would be the We Talk Truth group is like private. You cannot, I don't even know if you can search it out. I could be wrong. But anyway, what do you think about that? If you would be interested in being a moderator for a Facebook group for Christianity Now, Aaron Dotson and myself would be admins. You would be moderators, where you would have the ability to ban people, to put people on silence, to deny and accept posts, and to police the group. Anyway, let me know what you think about that. And if you would be interested in doing that, go to Christianity Now Facebook page and send me a private message. That being said, let's get into our pod, or well, let's just get started. Hello, Robert Leedy. Good to see you. Good morning. Terry Crooks is here, and Angie B. Hello from Texas. Oh, that's awesome. She doesn't work on Friday, so she gets to watch the entire episode. Y'all, let me tell you, I've been going gangbuster on Substack. If you're not subscribed to Substack, which is totally free, be sure and subscribe. Now, I have set it up where for $5 a month, you can be a paid subscriber. I think for $50 a year, you can do the whole year. There's a discount on group subscriptions. and you can be a founding member for like $150. And I think being a founding member means you're just a member forever. I could be wrong. I don't know. I haven't looked into it enough, but $5 a month and you get access to everything that's on Substack. We are going to be putting some stuff behind the paywall. Aaron Dotson and myself have already talked about this. The Christianity Now Substack is kind of lighter, almost surface. It's supposed to be for people to be able to whet their appetite. And then behind the paywall, we're going to try to put some really in-depth stuff. And it may not be always behind a paywall. It may be that after a certain amount of time, once our paying subscribers see it and interact with it, maybe after 30 days, it comes out from behind the paywall. Substack is amazing. You can actually schedule that. So, in fact, the article for today is actually behind a paywall, but it'll come out in 2 weeks. So anyway, it's pretty cool. What is Substack and where do I go to subscribe? That's a good question. So I am going to let me see if I can go. Hold on a second. Oh, no, I can't. Okay, from here, I can't do anything because I'm actually looking at Substack as somebody who is not signed in. In fact, when I'm looking at the article for today, The Worth of a Soul, Lessons from the Story of Jonah, there's a teaser, and then I get a message, hi, TonyBrewer1977@gmail.com. Keep reading with a 7-day free trial. Subscribe to Christianity Now. But if you go to Substack through any of the links that you see, like go to my Facebook and my Facebook profile and click on any of the links that you see shared from Substack. And if it's a free article, then go in there and subscribe. It'll take you off site. It'll take you to Substack.com. But Substack.com is a platform for bloggers and writers. And in fact, if I don't know who asked that. I don't know if it's Robert Leedy or not, but Robert, you as a gospel preacher, like if you write a bulletin article every week or something like that, my suggestion is get an account on Substack and start putting your bulletin articles on Substack and start sharing them on your Facebook. And just you don't have to set it up to where people subscribe. You can have it for free and you can just build up an audience and stuff like that. Anyway, I really like it. LaBeth at Be a Mindful Soul is on Substack. I do not know anything about Douglas Connerly. I've noticed I hadn't been seeing him pop up. So yeah, I know. I don't know anything, Deborah. But anyway, let's get into this. The Substack is wonderful. That's the full transparency. That's blatant, dirty, ugly self-promotion. Okay. I just like it and I'm excited about it. And, we got big plans in the future, but we're doing big things now. Oh, I didn't know he was in a nursing home, Deborah. Okay. Wow. Well, hopefully everything's okay. Anyway, our sponsor for this podcast is LaBeth Brewer at www.beamindfulsoul.com. And often people need a listening ear and some support as they work through the varied situations of life. But sometimes those situations are so complex and overwhelming that you need some extra support. Well, this is why LaBeth started Be a Mindful Soul. At Be a Mindful Soul, LaBeth's mission is to offer anything from a listening ear and the advice of an older sister to help finding a professional in your area if needed. Be sure to go to www.beamindfulsoul.com and check out all the services that she has to offer there. She can help answer your questions about therapy treatment or other mental health services that you might need. She also provides affordable assistance and support with resolving relationship conflicts, gaining and implementing more effective parenting skills, and she can help coach you through the steps you need to take in regards to finding peace and stability that you deserve. So discover tranquility and peace in life's turmoil with www.beamindfulsoul.com. Thanks so much to LaBeth for sponsoring the show. Yes, you can write articles with house to house, but this is going to sound weird. I want to grow, like if all you're interested in is writing articles and getting them out there, man, send them suckers to house. But I want to grow the Christianity Now, Brock. I want to grow something that I own. And Aaron Dodson and myself, again, this is full transparency. We are trying to build a digital content brand around timely issues from the timelessness of God's word to leverage that for when we are older, because preachers don't retire. They just preach until they die and everything like that. But anyway, we want to be able to supplement our income when we're older. So that's why we're starting now to build this up. So that's why I'm doing Substack and this and all that. LaBeth says that she wants to use Substack to build community through chats. Yeah, incidentally, LaBeth Brewer is in the audience today. If you have mental health questions, if you have issues that you need help dealing with, go to www.beamindfulsoul, send her a message, and engage with her. Go to Substack and follow her on Substack. LaBeth, it wouldn't hurt to put your Substack link in the comment section. Let's talk about the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah is a short but powerful narrative in the Old Testament of the Bible. It consists of four chapters, and its main theme revolves around obedience to God's call, repentance, God's compassion, and the idea that God's mercy extends to all people. Chapter 1, Jonah's flight from the great storm. Or Jonah's flight and the great storm. Jonah receives a divine call to go to the city of Nineveh and deliver a message of judgment, by the way. He tries to escape God's command by boarding a ship and going in the opposite direction to Tarshish, like 1,500 miles in the opposite direction, which is a fur piece if you don't have any way of travel except by wind or foot. Wind, foot, or hoof. A great storm arises at sea, and the sailors discover that Jonah is the cause of the storm, and Jonah instructs the sailors to throw him overboard and calm the storm, which they reluctantly do. So Jonah now is in the belly of the fish or the whale, depending on where you fall down on that debate. Jonah is swallowed by the great fish and spends 3 days and three nights in its belly. In his distress, he prays a heartfelt prayer of repentance and acknowledges God's sovereignty, and God commands the fish to vomit him out on dry land, sparing his life. So you'd think he learned his lesson. You'd think he'd be on board with everything God wanted him to do. Nah, not Jonah. So let's talk about Jonah's preaching in Nineveh. This is chapter 3. So God gives Jonah this second chance and reissues the command to go to Nineveh. Well, Jonah obeys this time and delivers this message of impending judgment to the people of Nineveh. He doesn't do a very good job of it, though. He just says, in 40 days, you're all going to die, pretty much. Could you imagine if gospel preaching was like that? Getting up in the pulpit, hey, every one of you people are sinners and you're all damned to hell. And you just sit down. That wouldn't be a very good gospel preacher. I don't think Jonah's heart was really in it. And if you read the text, you'll see why. Well, God sees their repentance. The people of Nineveh repent. And they, including the king, by the way, and they respond with repentance, fasting, and prayer, and God spares the city from destruction. Now, chapter 4, to me, is the real punch. Jonah has a disconnect, and God shows compassion. Jonah becomes angry and bitter because God does not bring the destruction that he threatened. He sits outside the city hoping to witness the destruction. That's why the thumbnail is a man sitting under a plant. God causes this plant to grow to provide shade for Jonah, which he appreciates. And then God causes a worm to destroy the plant, and then sends a scorching wind, making Jonah extremely uncomfortable. And God uses this situation to teach Jonah about his compassion and concern for all people, including the people of Nineveh. So the overall theme, I believe, of the book of Jonah is God's compassion and mercy. The main theme of the book of Jonah is God's boundless compassion and mercy. Despite Jonah's disobedience and reluctance, God gives him second chances and uses him as a messenger of repentance and hope for the people of Nineveh, a terribly wicked people that practice all kinds of barbarism, including the torture of pregnant women. That's all I'm going to say about that. God's willingness to spare the repentant city, his provision of a plant for Jonah's comfort, and his lesson about compassion all emphasize that God's love extends to all nations and that he desires reconciliation and repentance over judgment. Jonah's story serves as a powerful reminder of God's grace and his call for the people to reflect his compassion in their own lives. Folks, I believe we have fleshed out Jonah, all right? Jonah's very interesting story, and I absolutely love the book of Jonah. Now, let's talk about the article that I wrote, What is the Worth of a Soul? Well, we all know the passage of Scripture in Matthew. The passage of Scripture in Matthew is easy. What shall a man give in exchange for his own soul if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? He's made a terrible exchange. Folks, a human soul is worth more, in my estimation, the implication of what the Bible teaches. One human soul is worth the entirety of creation. And to go back and finish the thought that was fragmented from the beginning of the podcast, when I talked about the conversation that I had with my daddy, I was thinking about animals and animal cruelty, and I was watching these shows about the ASPCA, the animal police in these big cities. And my dad was like, he didn't like it because so many resources was being put forth onto that, and there was all this human crime that they weren't taking care of. And there's a debate to be had of the nuance. Like, it could be said that if you crack down on animal cruelty in a big city, you're going to have a net positive because there's other crime that those people will not commit. But he said something that struck me. He said, look, animals is animals and people is people. And there's nowhere that an animal is worth more than a people. And when I got to preaching school, we had an assignment as we were going through school, and I was assigned to write sermons from the Old Testament. And I picked this one, and this article is based on a sermon that I did for an assignment while I was in seminary. So here's the article. The worth of a soul. Let's talk about a lesson from the story of Jonah. In today's society, where the theory of evolution gains acceptance, there is a troubling trend emerging. The idea that the value of animal life equals that of human life. This shift in perspective challenges our understanding of the worth of a human soul compared to earthly possessions. Consider a documentary entitled Evolution versus God found on YouTube, which features interviews at UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles, regarding the belief in evolution. One question posed was whether one should choose to save a beloved dog or an unpopular neighbor if given the choice. To adherents of evolution, all life stems from the same primordial origins, rendering all life forms equal. Shockingly, those who embrace this doctrine tended to prioritize saving a dog over a human. This skewed worldview, influenced by the acceptance of evolution, has caused society, in cases, to place greater value on the lives of animals than on human beings. In this context, let us explore the story of Jonah, a character who lost sight of the eternal value of human souls. Folks, Jonah's assignment. God's direct command to Jonah was clear. Go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh and preach. That's verse 2 of chapter 1. Yet, Jonah chose to defy this divine order, setting sail in the opposite direction. This blatant disobedience to God's will triggered a great storm, putting the ship and its crew at peril. This is verses 3 through 4 of chapter 1. The crew, fearing for their lives, turned to their gods, their supposed gods, lowercase g, for help, eventually discovering Jonah asleep below deck. Jonah chapter 1, 5 through 6. Well, casting lots revealed Jonah as the cause of the calamity, verse 7. Jonah confessed his disobedience to God, and the crew, in awe of his true God, of the true God, offered sacrifices. They offered sacrifices. I read that with the wrong inflection. Jonah 1, verse 10 and 15 to 16. Well, why would Jonah go to such lengths to disobey a direct command from God? Well, Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, was a city steeped in wickedness. And Jonah, a Jewish prophet, harbored a deep-seated animosity towards its people. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. The Assyrians were known for their cruelty, ruthless practices, and brutal treatment of captives, including the torture of pregnant women. Jonah's prejudice against the Ninevites was akin to our reluctance to engage in a Bible study with someone like Adolf Hitler. However, Nineveh was also a city full of souls, and incidentally, Adolf Hitler had a soul. Adolf Hitler has a soul? He is a soul? Anyway, Nineveh was a city full of souls, and the Lord emphasizes the inestimable worth of a human soul, Matthew 16:26. Despite their perceived condition, the gospel needed to be preached there for the purpose of saving precious souls. So regardless of how bad they are, Jonah's job was not to pre-qualify. Jonah's job was to preach. Tell the truth now in your own head. Have you ever pre-qualified somebody? Man, I ain't going to tell that person about Jesus. They wouldn't listen to me anyway. Story of a man that was preaching in chapel one day to us as a student body. He said, the sermon was, "You never mention him to me." And then he told a story of a guy that he worked with in a retail sales organization. And the guy was a druggie, a ne'er-do-well. And he said, "I never did talk to him about Jesus in the Bible because I just knew there's no way he would accept it." And he said, on my first day, the day of orientation at the Memphis School of Preaching, he said, "We stood up and told, you know, my name is such and such. Here's my wife, my children, and we're here from so-and-so place. And the person that influenced me to come was such and such or so-and-so." And after that orientation, he said, "I felt a tap on my shoulder." He said, and then the dude just turned around. There was a big, bright smile. He grabbed his hand, pulled him in for a hug, and said, "I'm so glad you're here." He said, when I saw the roster of the people coming, I thought that was you. And he said, the fella that was greeting me that was a second-year student was that fella that I worked with that I decided not to preach Jesus to. I pre-qualified. Not only did he obey the gospel when I thought he wouldn't, but he was so convicted and convinced that he beat me to preaching school by a year. Don't pre-qualify folks for the gospel. Don't be a Jonah. Just preach, and try to preach in a way that's going to be the most effective. Don't be like Jonah. Oh, Brother Douglas Connerly passed from this life, according to Tylertown Church of Christ. Well, I hate that. I tell you what, man, he was always a blessing and always an encouragement. Let's have just a moment of silence for him. Well, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of the saints. All the more reason to focus on not pre-qualifying folk for the gospel. On a long enough timeline, the survival rate of every individual on this earth is zero. When are you going to arrive at the day that your last day and the day after it's too late? Let's talk about Jonah's misplaced compassion. Jonah had some compassion, but it was misplaced. So Jonah left the city to see if God would still destroy it. In my opinion, Jonah chapter 4, verse 5. It appeared he was eagerly awaiting the city's destruction. Jonah's prejudice, his reluctance to preach, and his message gave no hint of hope or the possibility of repentance. Jonah 3, 9 through 10. Yes, it seems clear to this writer and podcaster that he delivered the message of God in the most ineffective way he could, and then he sat on the hill waiting for the fires from heaven. Well, when God caused a cord to grow and then took it away, Jonah was deeply grieved. Jonah chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. Remember, he was sitting there, it was hot, a gourd grew, a plant grew, and shaded him. He cared more for the gourd once it was gone, once God took it away, for which he had not labored, which lacked a soul, than he did for the countless. So I shouldn't say countless, because God counted them, didn't he? Maybe I need to go back and edit that. Then for the countless souls in Nineveh, Jonah chapter 4, verse 10. So God drove home his point, asking Jonah if it was right for him to be angry about the gourd. Jonah's response was stubborn and selfish. He said, yes, I'm good to be angry about the gourd. Jonah chapter 4, verse 9. Well, the book of Jonah concludes with God contrasting the worth of a gourd to that of 120,000 souls. Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. Can you imagine grieving more for the fleeting comfort of a wild gourd than for the souls of an entire city? We, as Christians, are called to preach the word, just as Jonah was. Many excuses hinder this mission today, including preconceived notions and misconceptions about the effectiveness of preaching. We must remember the value of a soul, which is greater than our comfort, our time, our pride, and our convenience. Matthew 16, 26. Let us cease grieving over the gourd and start caring deeply for the lost souls in our world, taking action to bring them to salvation. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Folks, it is imperative that we prioritize souls. Think souls. If I walk up to this person and I strike up a conversation in order to get them to get to a Bible study with me, it may go extremely bad. But the absolute worst thing that can happen is they pull out a gun and they shoot you. And then what's going to happen? Well, you're going to be in paradise. So the most extreme, terrible thing that could happen is your death. But yet you'll be in paradise. Can you live with that? If you can't live with that, maybe you need to rethink your commitment to Jesus. Now, here's the thing. You do not have to live with that. You do not. Do you really think that anywhere in Western first world society, you're going to strike up a conversation about Jesus and they're going to shoot you with a gun? You may lose friends. You may lose a job. You may be passed over for a promotion. You may be ostracized by certain peer groups. Facebook may throttle you. YouTube may throttle you, whatever. But your problem, like 99.999% of the time, you're not going to die. What then is keeping us from talking to everybody we know and giving them this message of hope that although they are in outer darkness, Jesus died so they can be brought into the light? What is the worth of a soul? Now, this is a hard truth, but every time we decide not to talk to somebody about Jesus, every time we decide not to show our discipleship to the world, we prioritize the comfort of the gourd over the value of a human soul. And if you'll allow me to appropriate the language of my brother, James, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. I hope you take this lesson here and emulate God's compassion. And I hope we revitalize and we invigorate our commitment to the Great Commission. Because just as Jonah was commissioned to go into Nineveh to people that he had great prejudices against, we are commissioned to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Folks, that's all I've got for you today. I really hope I've said something that's helped you out. Yeah, Jesus said himself that his message will cause division. Oh, we talked about that in Wednesday night Bible class. So many times, people will tell an evangelist, a preacher, a Bible class teacher, well, if you would just say things better, if you would just show the love of Jesus more and focus on love, then there'd be so many more Christians. And the response to that is the message in and of itself is divisive. Jesus himself said, you're going to run more people off than you draw to. And in fact, if you're as good a teacher and evangelist as Jesus, if you say the perfect thing in the perfect way at the perfect time, for the perfect reason, teaching the perfect message, then you can look forward to the same end that Jesus looked forward to. You know, they ended up killing him. Go read the book of John. Look how many times they tried to kill him after he preached a message. Are you saying that if Jesus would have been a better preacher, he wouldn't have died? Prioritize the worth of souls over the worth of our own comfort, over the worth of material possessions, on the worth of earthly relationships. I live with a big one. Whenever I was young, I prioritized an earthly relationship over evangelism, and that person whom I loved was robbed from me at a very early age, and I've had to live with that forever. Now, I thank God's forgiven me, but I can't let it go. It's always with me, because I know where that person whom I love dearly, I know where he is. It's a good reminder. I need it every day. Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. Folks, remember www.beamindfulsoul and check out substack.com for Christianity Now, the Mindful Souls content. And I will say this, if you want to support me monetarily, but you don't want to subscribe to a podcast, to a Substack, you can go to Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. So www.buymeacoffee.com, www.patreon.com. Patreon is monthly. Buy Me a Coffee is a one-time thing. For our monetary supporters on Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon, I do one video for our monetary supporters. I do it on Wednesday. We're going to add some more, not a whole lot, but we are going to add some more exclusive content for our supporters there. And then, of course, with Substack, if you're a paid subscriber there, you'll get access to a lot of other stuff. I'm going to try to figure out how to combine all this where you get the same, where everybody gets access to the same exclusive content if you support us monetarily. But anyway, that's going to be a minute coming. I studied from Luke 4 with some other sisters this morning. They tried pushing him off a cliff after saying the Gentiles would be included in the promises. You got that right. Yeah, they don't like it. The people don't like Jesus' teaching. And do you think if Jesus would have taught in Luke 4, do you think Jesus, if Jesus would have talked better, if he, Jesus would have been more loving, more kind, more patient, more articulate, do you think that they wouldn't have tried to kill him? Do you think he could have been the better? Or do you think Jesus is always the superlative? Good questions to ask. Anyway, this is all I've got. God bless you. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations, powered by Christianity Now. Subscribe and support every way you can. Be the algorithm for us. Like, subscribe, share, hit the notification bell, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. And we will catch you on the flip side.